Today's ZHP interviews Evan Long, who has made a film about the April 20th, 1999 shootings at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado, entitled The Columbine Cause. This is a work of investigative journalism which goes beyond the superficial accounts of the major news agencies. The Columbine Cause looks into what actually happened before, during, and after the shootings, starting with the 11,000-page Jefferson County Sheriff's Office report. It is clear, while watching this film, that no major media ever investigated what occurred that day. Watching this, two things immediately stand out: official timeline and official number of shooters versus the evidence of eyewitness accounts. Evan, if we could get into why you made this film, and we'll start off with that, I guess.
Sure. Well, thank you for having the interest to look at the video and do this interview, which is really appreciated because this information is not getting around very easily as far as media help, so that's very much appreciated.
Sure.
And I'm sure that many of the people who are more closely connected with the PAC than either you or I am appreciate it also. As far as why I made the video, I had been looking into I guess beyond superficial politics for a while, and realizing that the role of the military and intelligence world, and even beyond that a little bit, in shaping events is probably more prevalent than we realize. And I came across some information about Columbine, which I thought was really important, and decided to put together to share with people. A lot of people who have seen what I've done, the video or the articles, might be wondering if I am a Columbine conspiracy theorist.
Sure.
as they probably wonder if you are about the topics that you cover on your show.
Yep.
And I would say that I'm somebody who familiarized myself with the over 30 pages of public domain government documents pertaining to the investigation of the Columbine attack. And I reached conclusions which are different. Some of them are tentative, some of them are just ideas, but they're definitely different than were presented in the Sheriff's Office final report on the Columbine High School shootings.
And one of the first things that stands out to me is the official timeline. The official timeline is somewhere between when the shooting starts, between 11:15, 11:20, and 12:08, when the shooters supposedly killed themselves, Klebold, Eric Harris. And in your movie, the first thing that comes out is that it's a different picture that emerges, and that's the first thing I think about. This is a different event that occurred than what we're led to believe in the news media, and it's through these eyewitness accounts. And a lot of the eyewitness accounts say that there were multiple shooters, that there were shots after the official deaths of the shooters. Could you talk about that a little bit? Either the timeline or the shooters, however.
Yeah. It's pretty sad, actually, when you compare the reports of these witnesses versus the official report. It seems like a lot of work went into the official report, which was eventually given to all of us in the public. As far as covering up what the witnesses had told the investigators in the case, the timeline is a great example. You have the shooting starting at about 11:20. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, wearing bulky black trench coats and carrying duffel bags, whip out guns, start throwing pipe bombs, start shooting people. They go into the school, and about 40 minutes later, it's all over. They killed themselves and took 13 people with them. And when you go through the documents, which took apparently a large fight to get released, and you go and read even the police-censored summaries of the interviews, there's only actually one transcript, one real transcript of the interview. Most of the things are two or three pages long, as you probably read. There's only one, I think, Jennifer Harmon, who is, that interview is 100 pages long,
okay,
which is about an hour interview as compared to the two or three pages. But, but the point being, when you look at what these people said, which probably a lot of the people who've seen my work and perhaps are apt to criticize it, they've never heard these interviews before. And that's a lot of what I was trying to do, was take what's in these documents. I mean, I'm a reader, you know, I read a lot. Take what's in there and give it to people who had never gotten exposed to it through the media, who apparently aren't doing their job very well.
Consolidate it in a way that's understandable. And that's the thing, is when in the film, when you see or see the witnesses, what they're saying, it's they're telling you straight up that there was, like, I saw the shooter. And that's the thing, is in the official reports, there's names that are redacted. I think that's one thing you might want to go over, is that the names are taken out that aren't the official shooters. So, like, a student will say, I saw so-and-so, the name is blacked out. In some places, the name hasn't been blacked out, so you can see who that was. And these are people who are not the official shooters, yet students say this is who they saw. And these students go to this school, they know who they're talking about. You know, they're not just random people.
Sure. Well, that's probably, I mean, maybe the main feature of this attack, which people probably aren't familiar with. We've heard a million times Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold killed 12 students and a teacher before killing themselves. It's in almost every article about Columbine, that phrase that I just said. However, not just one or two, but many dozens, as I present in the video, I spent about a half an hour in the video on it, many dozens of witnesses, eyewitnesses, ear witnesses to the attack, said, I saw four shooters, I saw five shooters, I saw seven or eight at the top of the stairs. And in many cases, as you say, they named them. They named them as CHS students, also in the trench coat group, cult, whatever it was at the school. They named them by name. A lot of times it's redacted, although in a few places, you know, a Perry or a Stair sticks through where they're naming. Going, this was a trench coat kid who graduated last year. I saw him on campus that day. Or they're saying it was Perry standing over the dead kid with a gun or whatever it was. Now, I don't know if it was these people or not. I wasn't there. But I do think that when you have dozens and dozens of witnesses, probably up somewhere around 100 that are reflected in the interviews, that is, who got it together to say to the police, and the police put it in their summaries, that they reported these other students and an adult as shooters at Columbine that most of us never heard about. That's important, you know.
Sure. There was, I think it was her that had dropped maybe her child off at school, and she says that she saw a group, maybe it was like five plus an adult, four or five plus an adult, in with the trench coats, and it stood out because there was an adult with them. And at around the time, people were also citing students with the trench coats walking in with duffel bags. This would be apparently the bombs and or guns that they brought. And there's a lot of bombs and also automatic weapon fire. They officially didn't have automatic weapons, but yet the people report hearing automatic weapon fire or saying it sounded automatic. And it's, you know, people know what machine guns sound like, you know.
Right. For the viewers who haven't seen, who aren't as familiar with this, it's been 9 years as we sit here talking since officially Harris and Klebold had two guns each, a shotgun and a semi-automatic. Harris had a rifle. Klebold had a Tech 9 pistol, which looks kind of like an Uzi, but it's semi-automatic, meaning that you get one shot per pull and you don't have to you know, do anything to it to reload. You just pull it and it reloads itself.
Yeah, it has a long clip in it.
Right, whereas an automatic fires more than one bullet when you pull the trigger.
Yeah, it just keeps going however long.
These would be the rapid fire, exactly.
Right.
So many ear witnesses, I cover most of these things in the video, including the automatic weapons. In the video, 911 dispatchers, there was a 911 dispatcher named Renee Napoles, isn't in the video, but it's on the 911 tapes. If you go through, there's a file called Notes to the Columbine Cause where I link up, I posted many of these government it's online, so people are encouraged to go to the site, look at notes to the Columbine cause, and you can link and read these documents that I'm referencing. But in the 911 tape, she's talking with Paula Zahn, who calls in for an interview with the 911 people, and she says, were there guns? And she says, yes, to me it sounded like automatic weapons. There's probably 8 to 10 statements to that effect, including specifically a lot about the Tech 9. Okay. People are saying that Klebold was firing looked like it was looked and sounded like it was shooting faster than you could pull the trigger, and things to that effect.
Okay.
And of course, I would add, more shooters would mean more weapons. So
right. Know. And this is a thing. So we have more shooters, or it seems like more shooters.
Yeah.
And also, well, I guess I want to start with the cafeteria, which they call a commons area.
Right.
The shooting started outside, and by most accounts. And they said that there were, I guess the official story is, correct me if I'm wrong, that there were not anybody shot in the cafeteria. There's some fishy things going on with the camera in there, but just talking about people getting shot in the cafeteria or not getting shot, according to the official story, what could you give a clear, maybe a...
Sure. Well, officially, again, to jog people's memories, except for what seems like a very ardent following of people who are way into the Columbine shooting, and by that I mean way into the official story of the Columbine shooting, there's a large... For some reason, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold have become cult heroes, which is... it's disgusting. It's not hard to find, though, on the Internet. Yeah. Eric and Dylan are gods in the talk. But most of these people are very ignorant when it comes to the beyond the surface layer of what the police told us. It's ironic because these people probably think of themselves as iconoclastic, anti-authoritarian, and yet they're pulling all of their information from the official government line on the attack. Yeah. So I would encourage them especially to go through this information. They seem to be some of the most resistant. But as you were saying, officially the shooting starts outside the cafeteria on the west side, and Klebold officially pokes his head into the cafeteria. There's a slight error in the video, which I corrected in the notes file with regard to that, but Klebold pokes his head into the cafeteria officially, doesn't shoot anybody, comes back out, and then they go upstairs or onto the second floor from outside.
Okay.
Into the lobby. But you have a couple dozen witnesses referencing cafeteria injuries, cafeteria shooters, and actually probably be valuable for me to read a few as I
yes.
covered. This is where it does get into some of the nitty-gritty. Ashley Heesh, page 2,892, sees a suspect shoot a person in the cafeteria area. Lisa Forgan, page 3,005, sees a gunman running in the serving area of the cafeteria, shooting kids in the crowd. This is officially janitors talking on walkie-talkies. I would add, though, that and Forgan, after four or five interviews, capitulates and says, okay, it was janitors, you know, or what...
Okay, the official's line is that she saw janitors talking in walkie-talkies.
Exactly, where she's saying at first it was shooters, one of them spoke German, which would fit right with the trench coat thing, because Harris was into the German and all of this
they
stuff.
They apparently spoke German at their meetings.
Well, that's what Pat McDuffie said, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were into the Rammstein, and this Harris's nickname at one point was Du Hast, after the song, and as a kind of... But many witnesses report cafeteria shooters. Now, another one, which I reference in the video, is I believe it's Lacey Smith, who identifies the shooter as not Klebold, but Robert Perry. And there's more on all of this in the video, in the section labeled part, well, I guess he's in part five, it'd be about 20 or so minutes in. But she says she's in the cafeteria. Perry comes in the door, tall guy, looks kind of like Klebold in that sense, comes in the door, says hi to her, steps around her, and starts shooting. Officially, this never happened.
Okay.
But officially, nobody's injured in the cafeteria, and especially nobody's killed in the cafeteria. Yet you have many reports, and again, I say go through the documents because you can't go more than 25 pages without coming across something that you're going to go, why didn't I hear about that? But the cafeteria issue, which I cover as far as the death count, initially being reported among law enforcement as 18 to 25 people dead in the school. This later gets whittled down to 15, including the shooters. It's very fishy, though, particularly with all the reports of the cafeteria being seen.
Right. And it's kind of a strange thing because official accounts coming out in the media initially were like 18 to 25 dead, and then it comes down. The death count. Like, why would the death count change so much? It's understandable that in a situation like that, it might go up and down a little bit, but the official death count is contrary to like what sort of comes out in your video. And there's also like strange things, like a woman was watching on TV and she has it on tape, I guess, where they, and it's in your movie, where they're pulling during the shooting, they're pulling a body out by its feet down some steps, and it's just, why would you be doing that in any case? You know, it's either too dangerous, or you wait till you figure the crime scene out. If the person's dead, they're alive, you wouldn't be carrying by their feet down steps, where obviously their head would be knocking. There's a bunch of strange things going on as far as the body count and number of deaths. You talk about people at the hospital as well. Maybe you could touch on that a little bit, like the number of people in triage, I think.
Oh, sure. Well, that was like on the scene, where people who had been injured, pretty much at the scene. There were 100 people triaged. Now, officially, again, 15 dead, including the shooters, 23 injured by gunfire, none injured by bombs. 90 bombs plus a few in the cars and at the houses. No one injured by bombs.
What bombs exploded officially, or by your?
As far as how many exploded, I believe it was, you get conflicting reports.
Okay.
The lowest one I saw was 30.
Okay, so a lot went off.
Sure,
okay.
And they made them filled with ball bearings and that kind of thing, so that when they exploded, they would send out lots of projectiles capable of harming people.
Yeah, okay.
As far as how many were injured, the 24 number, which gets published from time to time, includes a guy who got hit in the back with a chair. So you have reports of people being shot in the cafeteria, which don't correspond to any of the official shootings, and then a guy who got injured by a chair being listed as one of the official ones.
Sure.
It's a little odd as far as what got counted and what didn't. I don't really know, you know, why some would have been and some wouldn't have. But the point is looking at it and saying, you know, we're told it's one death count, we're told it's one count of injuries, and yet clearly there's a lot of evidence which would cast a lot of doubt on that.
The Patrick McDuffie, I guess, so student at Columbine, or was he?
Yeah, he was a former trench coder.
Okay. And he, that evening, I think, gave a detailed report of all the students that he somehow knew. I don't know how it is, but he knew involved in planning this, and details about their personal lives, what drugs they took, what kind of cars they drove. And it stuck out in the movie. It's like he gave a detailed report of the planning of this and many people involved, not just the two shooters. And I wonder if you could go into that detail.
Sure. And I would preface that by saying he was a former trench coder. We all heard Harrison Klebold had the trench coats on. What we probably didn't hear was that according to the founder of the trench coat, like every high school has one or two trench coaters. Like,
sure.
You know, we're all familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
At Columbine, though, according to Chris Morris, who was reported as a shooter in this thing, with a handgun. According to him, who was kind of the leader that year, the year of the attack, he said that the year prior there had been 100 coders at the school, which is, I mean, that's a lot of trench coders. So there was something going on around this, and, you know, with all the reports of them taping sort of simulations of the attack beforehand, even years beforehand, trench coders making videos at the school of themselves with guns, role-playing, doing war games at the school. Out of this seems to grow this attack somehow, and that's where it becomes interesting. But McDuffie says he quit the group because they were becoming too violent. This is in his interviews in the I didn't speak to him. This is from his interviews from just a few months after the shooting. And what he tells investigators that day, and this is in the video, and I put the pages right up on the screen, is that there were about 9 people involved. And he names them. He names them all. The only one he didn't name was an Eric that there was no name for. So, I mean, you know, that's up for speculation a little bit. But he says, of the other ones, many of whom were named as shooters by the witnesses, as I cover in the video in the previous section, he's saying, yeah, so-and-so helped make the bombs. So-and-so provided some of the guns. Some of them were, one of them was outside with an automatic weapon. And so forth. But he basically spills the beans as far as the whole thing and then turns around a day or two later and says, I was speculating and don't listen to anything I said. So it's like, who got to him? I mean, maybe it was an honest, maybe he just named participants in the attack, accuses them of murder or being an accomplice to murder, and then goes, hey, you know what, I didn't really mean that. Yeah.
Seems rather strange for such a detailed report. And another aspect of this is that Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were what we call second-tier trenchcoat mafia. They weren't the initial founders. It had dwindled that year from the previous year, and the amount of people, a lot of them had graduated. Yeah. And some of these people who are named as shooters are people who are graduated or had dropped out and were coming back. Some of them had been on campus too much, according to one counselor or something, that they were appearing too much on campus.
Yeah,
so strange. And
the phrase was unable to cut his ties with CHS, They were asking this guy, please stay off of campus. Why are you coming around
and
here?
And he's someone who seems like he had like problems. You know?
Well, he was a trench coat. I mean, the trench coat thing, I make some stabs at trying to get to the bottom of. I don't think that, like many things in culture, was an organically, like spontaneously arising. Like people were just like, I know, hey, let's put on a trench coat, let's play cards, let's role play, let's paint our nails black, let's listen to the same music, let's learn how to use swords, like all at once all over America. I think that was promoted from a higher level of society through the culture. And yeah, a lot of them were taking psychiatric. I mean, it's another common thread in the trench coat package.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, you know, that's what we find, these kind of semi-disturbed people.
Right. They're taking like things like Zoloft and Luvox, which
strong drugs.
Yeah, and they do this thing called emotional blunting.
Right.
Which, if it seems like these people were. Someone in the area lived in Columbine said that it was. Well, someone said it was a big rumor for 2 years,
right.
And another person said that more than just a group of angry teenagers or lonely angry teenagers.
Yeah, yeah.
And he heard this and made that connection after it happened. You know, I mean. We could get into why, but I think I want to focus more on sort of the events of that day.
Sure.
The number of shooters, people seeing multiple shooters, they're described in different areas, and I don't know, maybe if we want to get into the positions of Klebold and Harris in the library, because that's a sort of a significant thing. Where they end up, where these guys end up in the library and supposedly kill themselves, when you look at the picture, and it's grisly, and it was shocking. I mean, just, you know, I'm looking at this, and you realize it's a movie about kids shooting in their school. And it sort of doesn't hit home until you see the apparent guys, and you don't feel sorry for them necessarily, but you do in a way. I mean, it's awful the way they ended up. And I'm glad you've made this video, because it begs the question of what are the authorities doing to protect these people. But you look at this picture, and it in itself is evidence of something else going on than what they said. They're both lying on the floor.
That's right.
And one of the other kids, his brains are spattered on the other kid's leg. They had to be in this exact position to die. And it, you know, the gun is on the wrong side. He was, I guess, left-handed, or I don't know how it works out, but it just looks fishy.
It's on the other side of his body than the entry wound was, which, I mean, conceivably could have happened, but there's parts which could not have conceivably happened as far as... There's probably a lot of people going, what are you talking about? Okay.
Yeah, it's hard.
The image which I wound up using more or less as the emblem of this project that I did is there was photographs leaked, I believe is actually ironically from the Inquirer, okay. But they're still photographs, so it's not, you know.
Yeah.
Right. anyway, but it's a photograph of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold lying dead on the floor of the Columbine High School, large pools of blood around their heads, very graphic. I put black boxes over their heads so you don't actually have to like look at that. You can find the uncensored copy if you want to on the internet, but I figured there's really no point in doing that.
Sure.
But I would say, and before I even get into that, is if what the witnesses that you were talking about said is accurate, what we know about this attack, what we know is not true.
I mean, sure.
In such a way that I go over these things and I go, if half of what these witnesses say, what is being chanted in the media, what's being put out by the law enforcement, is completely wrong. And that would include Moore is saying about Columbine, and virtually everything. I mean, virtually everything. There have been a few think tank message boards on the internet which have gone over this evidence and come up with some excellent talking points through their research, and I just commend them for, I thank them at the end of the video, Echoes of Columbine, CRTF, which were excellent projects before I got involved in any of this, before I learned really of a lot of this. But as you were saying about the picture and the question of the deaths of Harris and Klebold, did they kill themselves? It's a basic question. Officially, there was speculation as to whether it was a murder-suicide. Harris shot Klebold, and then he shot himself. Some of Klebold's friends said he wouldn't have killed himself, which is fed into this somewhat. But actually, I did bring something to that effect, which I hope I will be able to pull up with relative ease here. Yes, which is... There's a short article. This is called Triage Doctor Horrified by Julia C. Martinez, Denver Post, dated April 20th. At 4:30 p.m. Tuesday, Dr. Caldwell entered the library at Columbine High School and was shocked at the grisly scene. For the next 15 minutes, and this was the main site where most of the shootings happened, was supposedly in the library. For the next 15 minutes, the young physician moved from one body to the next, pronouncing each one dead in turn. 12 bodies were in the school library, Caldwell said, just outside the library door, and two others were outside the building. That would be Sanders, who wasn't... Dave Sanders was... There were Rachel Scott and Dan Robaugh outside the school, shot on the west by the cafeteria entrance on the side in the west, and 12 in the library, including Harrison Klebold, and then Dave Sanders in a classroom. Nobody was officially right outside the library door, so that alone is another one. Anyway, it's the most difficult scene I've ever encountered. Horror would be the best way to describe it, he said. They never addressed this in medical school. Caldwell said that most of the victims appeared at a close range with a large caliber weapon. Most had multiple wounds. It appeared that some had made an attempt to get away. Some were shot in the back, he said. Wounds on the two students found outside the building indicated they were shot running. I believe this is officially the case with Dan Robaugh, but I don't believe it is with Rachel Scott. But point here, as far as Harrison Klebold, is in the midst of the carnage were two bodies shot through the head. Caldwell said he believed the two were the shooting suspects. Both wore ammunition belts. Guns and pipe bombs lay at their sides. One had a massive gunshot wound to the back of the head. Another had a large gunshot wound to the side of the head. This would be Harrison and Klebold, respectively. One wore a long duster-type trench coat.
Yeah.
Now, you've seen the picture. Are either of them wearing a trench coat?
No, neither of them is wearing a trench coat.
Neither of them is wearing a trench coat. There's other pieces of evidence like that. There's a sweater and some other... there was a tan trench coat found abandoned in the bathroom by the nurse. There's a number of question or just peculiar pieces of evidence found through the reports. But to close, there's also a piece from the governor's report, which was a commission to study this thing afterward. Their main thrust was bullying, which was pushed bullying for Columbine. It's pushed by Brooks Brown, who was the guy who was warned to get out of the school by Harris, allegedly. And they pushed bullying. And that family has been involved more than somewhat, with the movement to expose some of these documents. But they support the two-shooter theory. Yeah. So it seems to be somewhat, perhaps, of a limited hangout. I don't want to, completely... I don't know them, and I don't... But from the angle that they're pushing, that bullying is what caused this... I really find that if this is a large event involving a police stand down, multiple shooters covered up after the fact, including adults, I don't think bullying or even psych drugs. In the sense of being a spontaneous,
sure,
it took too many drugs this morning,
that's what that is.
Yeah, exactly, and just spontaneously decided to shoot people. They may have been used to disorient the patsies to make them willing to participate, but.
Sure. And that's another line of questioning is, like, the SWAT teams, it seems like they're holding off. The shootings took place, it's a large school, the shootings took place within apparently a limited area. The cafeteria is below the library, and maybe some action went on just to the side near the science rooms. But the SWAT teams could have come in from any area and gotten closer. It just seems like they stayed out. Tell me if I'm wrong, that they stayed outside the school until, I don't know, what time is, do you know anything about the official time of moving in or
their official time, it depends who you ask. Okay. Basically, some say they were inside within minutes, others hours, and then you even have police officers allegedly, Mark Taylor's mother, Mark was shot during the attack an unknown number of times because the bullets went through him. Somehow managed to live, but... According to his mother, Donna, a police officer approached them in the hospital afterward and said, "I was ordered not to save your life." He was told, "Don't rescue anyone in the outside area." So there are reports of police officers either being ordered not to rescue anyone, not to go into the school, or they're specifically given instructions, wait for an order, and the order never came. But it's a large school. If you watch any of the videotapes that are available on the internet, the videos such as YouTube, you can see the cafeteria. It's a large place. There could have been many teams moving through without bumping elbows. This wasn't a cramped quarter situation. And especially what perhaps happened in the library, if you go through, I didn't get into it in the video so much, but some of the bullet casings and the bullet fragments that were found don't seem to match up to either the law enforcement guns or the attacker's guns. And, the question of how many law enforcement shots were fired, where and why, raises questions. But getting back to this question of Harrison Klebold's deaths, just for people who are probably curious about this, it's evident from the itself, but Klebold is lying. I guess it's not hard to find this picture. Just go to the website, which is www.xmail.net/evanlong/tcc. Click on the official transcript, Columbine Cause, which is a full transcript of the video with some pictures and sounds. and just scroll down to the picture of Harrison. It's not... not hard to find.
Distinctive among the photographs.
Right. But you'll see Klebold would be lying, if you're looking at it, kind of in a, he'd be here, Harris is over here, Harris's feet would be about here, Klebold's head is here, and there's blood right on Harris's knee there. So unless Klebold happened to fall directly, the point is it looks very much like the bullet went through, creating, ejecting blood onto Harris's pants. There's the area behind Harris's head is disturbed, and there's blood there.
I mean, it's the thing that it looks like is that they were plopped down there.
Yeah, an arranged scene.
Yeah, and the gun on the opposite side, not on the firing side, and it's a long gun. Hold to your head.
It also wasn't Klebold's gun. That was the one Harris was using. Klebold had the Tech 9. Huh. The Tech 9 might be under his leg. It's a little, especially when you have them described in multiple positions. Like we had the triage doctor talking about them wearing a trench coat when he came in.
Yeah.
Where'd the trench coat go? But that seems to be the story when you look through the evidence, and there's just a great deal of that kind of what appears to be manipulated crime scene.
Sure, and something you mentioned in the movie, they call him the chisel face. He's someone who's older. I think he's the same one as the one who was like described as being older.
Yes.
In and amongst these trench coaters, and that's what leads to this sort of adult involvement, or people outside. What is this older person doing with these trench coaters? And the thing about it's like this whole myth about them being bullied. It's like you saying that they went out of their way, or one of the eyewitnesses said that they went out of their way to not make friends with you. They didn't want to be your friend. They were, in fact, mean, pulling knives on people, doing things like that.
It wasn't the meek ones who, are just real quiet and keep to themselves and, keep it all in and then one day just lash out. They had a reputation in the school for being confrontational with the jocks and threatening toward people who weren't giving them any problems. With this fake jock, anti-jock dialectic that seems to have been set up there, it had nothing to do with that. A kid with a learning disability said that Klebold had been making death threats against him in the hallways.
Wow, yeah. And there's also, they're, at the same time, leading up to this event, they're making videos of one for school, where they're pretending, it's, I don't know what the name of it is, where they're pretending to be, to take care of kids who are being
hitmen for hire.
Hitmen for hire.
Sure.
If you're just watching that, it doesn't seem it doesn't illustrate that they're being picked on. It illustrates that they're being, it's this aggressive tone to it. That's, I don't know.
Yeah. There's a quote from a kid who was in the video class who used to get a ride from Harris to school, who also did, I didn't get into it in the video, but who also did the thought of the day. This is yet another thing about the shooting, which is like, it's incredible how intricate this was. But the thought of the day, the school was a wealthy school. They had a video system in the classroom where there'd be a television in each classroom. Huh. And the AV staff would put announcements and stuff on the TV. Like, schools have loudspeakers. They had a video system. And during, I think, second period, they had the thought of the day, which on 420, students said was, you wish you weren't here today, 420, 420, 420. And some people would say, well, of course, I'd rather be outside. It was a nice day, or maybe a funny reference to smoking pot. That's sure. For people who don't know, that's a code for smoking pot.
Official day for that.
Right, exactly, which is another strange element to the shooting. But anyway, Vike probably, well, I shouldn't say, but... Well, actually, no, he was, I think, he did admit, officially the person who put the thought of the day on the screen that day. This is a guy who had a lot of connection with Harris, by some accounts idolized him, and I believe, if I was reading the story correctly, that fall after they went back to school was arrested for making threats of doing a school shooting. So this guy apparently had a lot emotionally invested in the attack. Anyhow, there's even more intricate details on the thought of the day where one person said it even said Du hast, which again was Harris's
Rammstein.
Exactly. So it's just one of these things where it's like the deeper you go into it, the more that seems to come out.
Yeah, that's the thing about this is there's so many details to encompass them in one. Your movie is like it encompasses a lot, but there's great detail beyond that. It just keeps going, and it just lends more weight to the idea that there's something else going on here at the base level. You know?
Right.
And I don't know if you want to get into that, you know, how much you want to get into, like, what went on before or whatever you want to put into that.
Sure. Well, I mean, what I've been able to pull out of what I've read, as far as what Vike had been saying, was that they always made the same kind of videos where they wanted to be the intimidators taking the bad guys. So they would always cast themselves in this role of being an intimidator, a violent intimidator, obviously, taking care of the bad guys. So that may have been, when we try to understand the psychological profile of what was going through the Patsy's minds when they were getting involved with this, that had something to do with it. Now, there's going to be a lot of people out there, I know, because I've heard from some of them on the internet where they leave comments on the videos that, you know, I'm full of it. Obviously I'm full of it, and why don't I just stop talking, and so on and so forth. And, you know, I mean, it's for these people, I think probably the question that may be going through their minds is like, why? What's the point of all of this? How would you even accomplish something like this, and then why would you want to? This is disturbing ground and uncomfortable questions, definitely. I mean, you have this event here, which seems like it was 75% covered up, a near total fiction overlaid over the official story, which if you had gone through all this trouble to make it happen, why would you do that? And then what was the point anyway of even staging a shooting
this, yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't entirely know, but gun control seems to be one that comes up again and again. And this is, I mean, I may be losing some people here who aren't looking at this perhaps through the perspective that I am. But if you accept the premise of additional shooters, including an adult, as you were talking about the chiseled face shooter that Jennifer Small reported, and thought it worthwhile to make a sketch of his face.
Yeah.
If it was Eric Harris, as the investigators were repeatedly pressuring her to say it was Eric Harris, I don't know why she would have gone through the trouble, who she knew personally, had talked to that morning. I don't know why she would have gone through the trouble of preparing a sketch of the guy's face.
And it's a very good sketch, by the way.
And it doesn't look that much like Harris. But anyway, she was insisting that it was an adult. There's this big question of how did they bring the Patsies in? And I mean, these were kids living at home. If this was being controlled by a terrorist network in positions of authority, and this is where I guess up till now we've been talking about safe, contained details of the shooting that haven't been exposed. And then when we get to the implications, this is where it gets, I think, somewhat more challenging for people. But I am coming from it, I will say, I'm coming from it from the perspective that the Columbine attack, like many of the other high-profile terrorist attacks, such as 9/11, the Oklahoma City bombing, and some of the other ones, appear to, when you get down into the details, have impossible official stories with patsies taking the blame, the ones you hear about, the Harrison Klebolds, the Attas, the 19 hijackers, the McVeigh and Nichols, these people that you hear about. When you peel back a few layers, you see perhaps the people who technically actually did the act, whatever it was, that the patsies are accused of, and then the people running the political agenda behind it. And this is where Columbine, if you look at it on one level, is a shooting where, you know, it was a tragic event. 15 people, or maybe more, died. And that's horrible in and of itself. But why did it get so much publicity, honestly?
Right.
I mean, this kind of thing happens a lot, and I know people living in the inner city, I mean, shootings happen constantly. I mean, I think the statistics on Washington, D.C., for example, in the 90s, it was it was like 1,000 murders a year, which is like, you know, basically a quarter Columbine a day in the city. So why does Columbine get all this attention and all this propaganda built around it on from every angle? And I would suggest perhaps that this has to do with an attack. What was it? It was an affluent suburban high school, pretty wealthy high school actually, in the Denver suburbs, where suddenly you're no longer safe. You could send your kid off to school. And remember what they had attempted to, or there were propane tank bombs in the cafeteria. What the plan apparently was to have these bombs explode, had the cafeteria demolished, the library collapse on top of that, and according to possibly forged diaries, have 500 people dead. Actually, it probably would have looked a lot more like the 2004 Beslan Russian attack in northern Ossetia that was blamed on Chechen rebels, had some interesting parallels to Columbine.
Another school attack.
It was where people were held hostage. This, again, blamed on... whereas the Columbine attack was senseless violence, a random killing, hate-filled teenagers, lone nuts, all the usual stuff. That one was actually blamed on people with an actual political motive, which would be, you know, political interests. So, but anyway, I believe almost 400 people were killed in that. The school was, destroyed in a fire. The official, or the possibly in the intended goal of Columbine was more like that. For whatever reason, that didn't happen, and it was a much smaller event. Still got publicized to hell anyway. I mean, people were getting sick of all the Columbine coverage. People were writing on the internet, you know, just stop covering it so much. But if you look at it as a terror attack to be propagated through the media, that, you know, you're another psychological attack on the middle class, coupled with an attack on gun ownership, which, for whatever reason, as I've said, this has never been something in my life that I've really been particularly like interested in, or not my background. But with the shootings, also the Lane shooting and the Port Arthur shooting, the main thing after those was passing very restrictive gun control legislation. Didn't work in America. Mainstream polls showed that Americans ranked gun availability very low down the chain. They blamed the Columbine shooting mostly on parenting, going, of course, with the, you know, Patsy thing. But Americans were not apt to blame guns for the shooting, although that was the main movie, which probably many people have seen, Bowling for Columbine, is about guns, not really Columbine, certainly nothing we've been talking about today, and not because what we've been talking about today isn't backed up, because it most certainly is. But again, looking at these high-profile terrorist acts as being, you know, eventually blamed on a lone nut, but given a lot of publicity and tied with this political agenda. In the case of Oklahoma City, you had the anti-terrorist bill passed immediately after that, which was ready to go beforehand. 9/11, of course, you had the Patriot Act and the invasion of the Middle East. Yeah. It's fairly obvious. There, and if people aren't familiar with that, there's a lot of information exposing that on the internet. And I know I'm probably alienating some people by saying that, but what I've found, and that's very much where I'm coming from.
Just to tie in, the FBI lead investigator, who's a psychologist apparently, Dwayne Fusilier, his son went to school. And he, I don't know if he was a part
of... Two of his sons.
One of them, I think it was the older one, Scott made a video with the trench coaters about the blowing up the school.
Right.
And it's not to say that's a one-to-one evidence, but
right.
this man was involved in other events. Was he involved?
Well, and that's just for people who didn't catch that. The supervisor of the investigation for the FBI had a son in the school at the time of the attack, and had a son who had graduated, I think, 2 years prior, who, like you said, had made videos. According to Brooks Brown, it was a parody of Get Smart, the spy thing. Yeah. But it's striking how that video and many of their other videos involved trench coaters shooting weapons and the school blowing up. There's many.
Yeah.
I mean, not just that video, which some of them have been released. That one hasn't. The basement tapes haven't. These are Harrison Klebold's alleged confession tapes, which they won't release for fear that they're going to incite more shootings. I don't know if these people have been paying attention, but there have been, I don't know what they're trying to prevent, because there have been so many trench coat shootings in the years since. They released the surveillance footage of the cafeteria, which shows the shooting itself, the hitmen for hire tapes. For some reason, they're holding on to these tapes, which we're apparently not responsible enough to see as a society.
In light of all the other stuff, it sounds a little fishy that they would be withholding it.
It's a little strange. And there was a statement, some of the families of the survivors have been really pressing on this a lot, because they're not having it with the official story, and they deposed the Harrison Klebold families to try to get some answers. The court ruled that those depositions would be sealed for 20 years. Not even violence prevention experts could look at them. So it's like, what is in these depositions that is so hot that they need to keep under wraps, basically? And much less publicized, according to Mark Taylor. They also deposed Harris's psychiatrist. Sure, we could learn a lot from that,
yeah.
Especially as, like, the, one of the official explanations for Columbine was that it was a psychiatric malfunction, of, like, some drug thing that made Harris go violent. I'd like to see how that explains the adult allegedly seeing violent. But anyway, I mean, if that's the case, and it does show up in a lot of these other what appear to be less orchestrated, more spontaneous shootings where you get a trench coater, on the SSRI drugs or something, which I definitely encourage people, from what I've seen, they don't do good things to people.
Right.
But there's been all of these attempts from the surviving family members. Even I think the mother of Lauren Townsend, who was killed, said after hearing the Harrison Klebold family speak, she felt like there was a bridge out up ahead, and because she's under a gag order, which I think we all should begin lobbying for that to be lifted and for this information to come public. I think we all want to know what caused Columbine and what happened so that nothing like that happens again. She said it's like there's a bridge out, and she's not allowed to warn motorists approaching the bridge.
Sure.
So, I mean, this is not some, as somebody said, I'm a lonely conspiracy theorist just trying to amuse myself. These are serious things that ruin lives. I've seen people fall into the trench coat thing and get really screwed up. I haven't known any school shooters, fortunately. I've definitely seen some of the havoc that can wreak on people, and just people lose chunks of their lives, basically, to this madness.
And the thing is, you want to learn about what actually happened. I mean, if there is more to learn, and very quickly you've come upon evidence that shows that there was something else going on, and you would want to know why that this happened. And
sure.
when it leads to people in power, it gets tricky. You run into roadblocks.
And why?
Yeah.
Why are they resisting this? And it's not because they're afraid of more shootings happening.
Yeah.
It simply isn't. When you look at, they played the surveillance of the shooting on national TV, okay?
Sure.
You can't get much more, as far as inspiring somebody, you can't get much more than that than showing them the shooting,
sure,
which I think was aired for the benefit of the people not actually inside the cafeteria, so you could actually experience the terror, that transported to create. Well, actually, as perhaps we can get into, the Gladio attack, or the Gladio attacks in Europe, was another series of high-profile terrorist events in Italy and in Belgium, which were blamed on, on the Red Brigades and the Communist Party, was later revealed to be NATO intelligence, fascist stay-behind agents sprinkled throughout Europe after World War II in case of a Soviet invasion. They would have these fascist terrorist cells to repel the Soviets. What was revealed was NATO wound up using these units to actually hey, why wait for the Soviets to invade? Let's just start doing some things now before they get here. And actually, if I could, there's a quote from the founder of the Red Brigades, who that was blamed, paraphrase slightly, and this is from, for people interested, a BBC special, I believe it was just called Operation Gladio, should be available on the internet. He said, and this I think, I'm also not interested in a witch hunt as far as the people naming these other shooters. I don't think that the kids, even the others that were exonerated officially, dreamed this thing up. I think that they're as much patsies as Harrison Klebold, but they were let off. As far as, well, this guy wasn't, and his statement is, paraphrased slightly, why am I spending 17 years in jail? I thought I was going in one direction when I was being in another. I want to know who or what has used me. And to be honest, I mean, I think probably Harrison Klebold, if they were still, you know, if they had not actually died, would probably be thinking the same thing. Not that I'm sympathetic to them, but that if they were used in a way that they were not intending, you know, I think that would be information worth revealing also. But as Michael Ledeen, a neocon involved with the Bush administration now, said of Gladio, the intended result of that was to create a climate of terror to subvert democratic society. Incredible. Again, the high-profile terrorist attacks like Columbine, I think that's what you're looking at. Getting back to Fusilier, as we mentioned, so he has two sons at the school, tad unusual, also involved in the Montana Freeman standoff, also involved in the Oklahoma City aftermath, also at the siege at Waco, which the ATF codenamed Showtime, to the goal there, which they admitted was to show off what they could do to get more funding, I guess, from Congress or whoever was funding them at that point, you know, basically what they can do. And that's been admitted since. But so that's Fusilier. Fusilier's line, being a psychologist, is that Harris was a psychopath and Klebold was a depressive. Harris was out of control one. Klebold followed along. If it hadn't been for Harris, Klebold might have participated in some petty crime, gotten the help he needed. Harris was a lost cause and so forth. So this is Fusilier. He is promoted by Dave Cullen, who is supposedly the guy who the guy who's going to tell you the truth about Columbine, the one you can trust, who's writing the articles exposing this. He promotes that psychopath and depressive line. So it's a big web as far as all the promotion of this event. It's kind of mind-boggling, actually.
Yeah, no, it's that's a good place to sort of wrap up, I guess, because it sort of leads up to the point of power and who's calling the shots and why. And it's a big question, and I'm glad you've made this film because it's sort of, hadn't thought about it. I've looked into a bunch of these other things, 9/11, Oklahoma City, and watching this, I hadn't realized what I didn't know, and it led to the same thing, people in power pulling these events off, costing so many lives, tragedy, real tragedies. And some of the same people are involved, and personally so, that, you know, it would seem like. So I want to thank you, Evan, for being on ZHP and doing this interview. I'm so glad to get you on finally, and thanks for being here.
Sure.